Well, you're talking about my great grandparents. It was great. It was called Lawrence King, and he was a pretty highly decorated Marine from the Crimea, believe it or not.
Oh,
And Grandad Chan, he worked in a glove factory, and his brother Frank, he was in South Africa
wow.
at 16 years old fighting the Boers. He signed on in Sherborne,
Wow.
and he was in the fighting the Boers. And when that finished, he fought through the 1914-18 war and survived it.
Yeah.
And I got his medals in there.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh,
And both my
special.
parents were born and bred in Melbourne Port. And father was born in Newtown and was one of nine kids. He went to Foster School, was in Sherborne as a lad, which was a grammar school then, and went on to be the manager of a bookshop in Sherborne.
Oh, right.
I married Dorothy Chant, which was my mum, obviously, an old Melbourne family, and went on to have three children. Me being the middle one of three brothers. You stop that
Yeah,
now.
Frank Chant.
Well, he was in the Boer War, as I just said, and he always said that as he was in the artillery, tugging and pulling the guns, the bullet went through the mule's nose and just nicked his knee. And that was about all he got through the two World Wars and the Boer War and the two
Right.
World
I wonder
Wars.
if the mule survived.
I don't know. He
It might have saved
had a
him.
sore nose, I just imagine. Father was called up into the RAF and was posted to Canada and Norway. While in Canada, he decided for us to immigrate there. This is the thing. And he had a place to live and a job to go to and all. And mother and I were ordered by Dad to go up to, from Canada, to order up to go to Canada House in London, which we went to and got to. This is mother, my older brother and I, got accepted to go. And we were all going. And then father got ill
Oh.
over in Canada. He got operated on, got some kind of blood clot, and he got pretty rough with it. And
Wow.
got so that all fell through.
Blimey.
So,
Isn't it strange the way life takes these strange
he
turns?
got invalided out, and that course
Twists
that
and turns.
this would never have been there
No,
or
no.
anything else.
Extraordinary.
So,
Go.
my childhood, most of them, my memories were living during the war. There were regiments of soldiers all around the place, and they were important, all over Grendel Court, Limerick. And there was a camp opposite the co-op in Limerick. And we acquired some mess tins, you eat out of,
Yeah.
the army get out of. And we used to get in the queue there in the cookhouse, and they would give us some food. The soldiers, the soldier cooks.
Because you were hungry, or because you just wanted to
Well,
know what they were eating?
it was good fun to just
Yeah,
keep.
sure.
That's all we sort of lived for, the army and
Did they give you chocolate?
They gave us all sorts. The
Yeah.
Americans did
Yeah.
especially. Got some mess tins and joined the cook. Yeah, joined the cooks. But, I remember there was a searchlight.
Yeah.
I was at the Deutz factory in North Street, and we used to get up on that with the crew and get up on, let us climb on it. Opposite the old Deutz factory, and the crew, the soldiers, let us get up on and climb on there. And another vivid memory was standing outside, which is now the chip shop, and watching the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders come up from Crandall Court, the
Yeah.
same station,
Yeah.
with a pipe band. It was
Ah,
good. It was
wow.
exciting, exciting and stuff. And going to church. And in behind there, they were Bren gun carriers, which is like little tanks.
Yes.
And they would give us a lift, stop in the road outside
Oh, I
there.
bet that was
Us kids would get
exciting.
in. Yes,
Little boy dream come
they would
true.
take us out to Crandall Court,
Yeah.
corner and back, first
Yeah.
Cornwall.
Yeah.
And then that was very exciting for
Yeah.
kids, you
Yeah.
just imagine it. And,
Yes, wow.
That was exciting. When the Americans came, they were stationed in the old museum down the bottom of South Street, which is the last house now, is
Yes.
that workplace.
Yes.
They were stationed in there, black Americans.
Was that quite a novelty to see a black
It's the
face
first
in the
black person we
Bonpoint?
ever saw,
Yeah.
but they were good to us.
Yeah.
And the bottom of South Street, which is the last two houses on the left,
Yeah.
Jones's lived there now, were showers.
Oh, right.
Revolutionary showers.
Yeah.
And as kids, we would strip off and go in and have showers with them. Look, thought nothing of it. With the black Americans.
Can you imagine something like that happening now? It would never be allowed,
would
it?
It was great.
It was perfectly innocent. Yeah.
We'd never seen showers in it. Yeah. Sure, that was something marvellous to stand under a shower, but nowadays, you imagine that.
Yeah.
With the naked black Americans and little kids,
And yet so innocent.
Innocent and quite normal.
Yes.
Didn't know anything any different.
Absolutely, yeah.
Of course, all these bad things that we hear about now didn't exist to us then.
No.
So it's all very exciting anyway. The Americans, when they came, they gave us all sorts of stuff that we'd never heard of before, like tins of fruit, chewing gum, and what they call candy, which was sweets and stuff.
Mm.
And they were really good to us. Then one day in June, all the soldiers, all the lot went. Obvious before D-Day,
look.
Yeah. I remember there were soldiers marching and lorries, all going towards Sherborne, and all a lot went just in 1-2 days.
That was it?
They all went on a D-Day landing slip.
Wow.
And that was the end of the soldiers, which, you know, were a big part of my upbringing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, V-Day, which is victory in Europe, when the war was officially over for us.
Yes, know. Yep.
There was a big sort of celebrations in Melbourneport then, fancy dress things in the all day, and in a torchlight procession at night, believe it. There's some kind of tins there on sticks all lit up.
Yeah.
I remember it. And
must have been so exciting.
They all went to a bonfire up at East Hill.
Yeah.
All the little kids like myself, they all had to get in the back of Stan Greenstock, which is Wendy's uncle.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
In the back of his lorry, and they drove his little kids up there, and that was all a bit exciting.
Yeah.
Big, tremendous bonfire.
Yeah.
Up at East Hill, yeah. And in the daytime, there was all these parades, and a Spitfire came up through North Street, you remember, and they'd done a victory row, which is a spin in midair, and his wingtip had a chimney pot off.
Right.
And down in the road. Now, that it was that low that he took a chimney pot off. He turned over the victory row. And then, just touched the pot and off it come.
Yeah.
If we were able to go to Weymouth on his Sunday school outings, which is where Wendy would have come into it too.
Yeah, being sick on the bus or whatever.
Yeah, and we were all very excited about this because we'd never seen the sea before. No? I must have been like 7 then.
Yeah.
Never seen the sea, and always read about it. Anyway, I remember sort of coming through the sort of torches there, and we all crowded out in front of the bus, and then saw it, and I'd never get it. And anyway, the Weymouth were all barbed wire and bollards to stop the tanks and the landings. All the prom was full of bollards, and the beach was one massive barbed wire.
Ah.
But they cleared some for us kids.
Oh, great.
And they cleared some of the work so we'd get on the sand. And I say, the families used to sit round in a small area and eat salmon sandwiches because we could get salmon from Canada, seems like.
Right.
You know, Canada's festered out with salmon.
Yes, yes.
Over here, he couldn't get any, so it seems like they send it. And we have plenty of salmon.
Wow.
Salmon and tamale sandwiches. They always seem to be full of sand.
Of course. Anything on the beaches.
Yeah. it was marvellous. We couldn't sleep for days, to thinking about this.
Excitement.
So exciting to go and see the sea.
Yeah.
And come on now, in 1947, it was very, very cold.
Oh, yes.
And actually, I can remember sitting on the pavement in Say Street in the Aurora Borealis.
Right.
Over Shelton Hawthorne. Got to be that common that nobody even bothered to look at it. I speak to a lot of people about
my brother.
I can't remember it, but I remember it vividly, seeing the Northern Lights up over Shelton Hawthorne, 1947.
And that was because it was so cold.
It was so cold, yeah. And of course, we only had one small fire to heat the whole house. And it's like in the sitting room. And
so you didn't have fires in the other rooms in your house?
No, and it was everybody were a bit short of money.
Yeah,
She lived in that one room in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it was so cold that I remember the windows were all iced up, bedroom windows.
Mm.
And the sheets where we'd been breathing were frozen. Frozen.
Just from the condensation
where you've been breathing, condensation for your breath.
Wow.
It was so damn cold, but we had great fun sledging.
I bet.
All the kids had sledges. They were all ranging, all kinds of sledges, ranging from sheets of galvanised to decent wooden sledges.
Yeah.
And we used to sledged in over Bullings Ground.
Yes.
You know Bullings Ground?
Yes, just up from me, isn't it? Yeah, low well, in Kingsbury.
It was quite steep. And we used to career down over the hill. Of course, the river was frozen as well. That river was frozen.
Wow.
That your river runs by your house. Yeah. Was actually, it rode over hard.
You could go on it?
So you had to jump off a sledge before you got to it, which was down the bottom. Yeah. Otherwise, you went straight across and smashed into the gasworks wall.
Oh, yes.
So you had to jump off. It was that river was that frozen.
Wow.
And I never get how cold it was. We were kids. I used to collect bags of coke for people from the gasworks. Bags of coke, which are residue from making the gas.
Yes, all right.
And down to the estate yard, which is the bottom of E Street, for logs from the Medicott's estate, for threepence or sixpence a time if you were lucky.
Yeah.
And then we used to make a bit of pocket money with that, you know.
Very resourceful.
When I got older, I became interested in farming. And after school and holidays, I worked on a Canning Court farm, which is now Tizzards, Ali Tizzards. But then after guppies for £5 a week, looked after the calves and horses, and worked on the thrashing machines. I loved doing that kind of stuff. And I always wanted to be a farmer, really. It's always my great love.
Right.
But when I got 13, I know you're 15 years old, I realised they were never going to be a farmer without, you know, inheriting, you know. Yeah. So I went on the buildings. Yeah, but before that, I saved up the money from the farm and bought a pig.
Ah.
Which I kept over at Mr. Cuss's pigsty, which were opposite. That's Mary Clothier's farm.
Oh, yeah.
They had a pigsty for some reason. Ah. And I used to keep a pig. I used to collect the waste food from all the big families and cook it up. And I had a friendly school dinner delivery man, and he would give me the scraps from the church school.
Wow.
And I got a pig, decent-sized pig.
Yeah, fed your pig up, and then what happened?
Yeah.
What happened to your pig?
When the pig became ready for market, somebody must have told the Western Gazette about this pig that I had. And the day I had a day off in school and went with the pig in Mr. Prout's cattle, Larry, to Prideaux's bacon factory at Gillingham, which was all organised by the Western Gazette, I gather.
Oh, right.
And it got into the paper as Milburn Port's youngest pig farmer. I followed this pig from slaughter right the way through till he came out the other end of bacon and ham. And with that money I got from that, I got £26.4 for it.
Wow, that must have felt like a lot of money at the time.
I gave £4 for it. Got £26 for it, I remember.
That was a good investment.
Yeah.
And did you eat that bacon and you eat your pig?
No, that went on into the market, I suppose. Right.
Did you get attached to your pig?
Yeah, it used to sit on its behind like a dog. But anyway.
Did it have a name, this pig?
I can't remember of it anyway. But anyway, I got £26.4 for it and went on and bought four more.
Ah.
Then I sold them and bought another four.
Wow.
And by the time I was 15, I had caught a few bob.
I bet
you know, and but then that was the end of that. And then I realised I weren't going to be a farmer, so I went to be an apprentice bricklayer then.
Right. Who did you work for?
C.P. Unwin, which were the biggest builders around here then. Worked on Wing County School for over a year, which the old kids went to, and then I got called up in for the army for a couple of years. I was in the Royal Artillery.
So this was National Service?
Yeah, National Service.
Where did you have to go to do that?
All over the place. Joined up at Oxford Street in Shropshire, went off to North Wales and all over the place.
Oh, wow.
Finished up on Salisbury Plain, which is a school of artillery. So we were firing guns all day long up there.
Oh, right.
Which was quite interesting, really, because it was a school of artillery. So they were, being that the Rangers were there, you know, they were teaching all the young lads from Sandhurst.
Yes.
To out the gunnery.
Yes.
So we were shooting every day. No.
Did you feel resentful about having to do national service?
Not really. No. I was quite, always a bit worried about it, but I remember being happy that I passed A1 sort of thing, where a lot of my friends didn't.
Right.
And I've always thought afterwards that nearly every man I know must feel a bit sorry that he never went in.
Right. Yeah.
Forces.
Yeah.
Because I always think it made a lot of difference.
Yeah, well, you hear all sorts of mixed feelings.
Makes
about
a lot of
it,
difference of people. I yes. always think the men yeah. who've been in, they can always tell them.
And was that the first time that you had been away from home?
No, no. We used to call the Boy Brigade camps and everything. I've never mentioned the Boy Brigade bit.
So you were used to being away from home then?
Yeah, been used to being away.
Right.
Yeah, we used to go to camps and do all sorts of things. Camp date all over the place. We had a tent as kids. We used to camp all in the local fields.
Oh, lovely.
So
how old were you when you did the National Service? Were you 18?
Oh, no, because I got deferred for 2 years.
Right, what, because of your pigs?
Because I were apprentice.
Oh, right, yes.
For 5 years.
Yes.
I was 20 when I went.
Right.
Came out at 22. Quite a nasty accident there. And I was off work for a couple of years. A motorbike accident.
Ah.
But I got over it, okay. Smashed my leg. But
ooh.
Mm. Bone graft. Taking it off me here.
Ooh.
And they done a good job.
Yes.
You talk about the village, our life has changed. The main thing that has changed to do with work is the remembrance of hundreds of workers going to and from the factories. Mm. Which is, when you think about it, there were nearly everybody in Melbourne worked at one or two of the factories. And so at 10 to 8 in the mornings, floods and floods of people walking towards the factories.
Yeah.
And back for dinner.
Yeah.
Back again at 10 to 2.
Yeah.
Hordes and hordes of people all walking towards the factories.
Yeah.
And they'd all come home for lunch and, and they would... And they were all in bunches, usually, being, I suppose, friends and workmates. Mm. They're all sort of gathered in bunches. Yeah. We had a show. The only choice of work, really, for us were in the factories, on the buildings, or on the farm.
Mm.
Or might have been a few on the railways.
Yes.
You can know they're all steaming out there.
Yes.
So there weren't really much choice but to go on the buildings. I don't think there's... A lot of it has changed for the worse, really, as regards the best. Since, like, children, young people, they're self-harming and that now, anorexia and all this, taking drugs. None of that then.
No.
None of it. And we were just kids. There were always some bullying, but... We always used to put up with it and didn't affect us very much, I don't think, whereas now there are all kinds of problems.
Mm.
Nobody seemed to care what the children wore at school, the leather patches on their elbows and the seats of their trousers. Being in a factory, everybody had loads of leather.
Yes, of course.
So we wore
leather patches.
And fashions just didn't exist. Nobody cared what anybody wore, so there was no trying to keep up with the Joneses or anything like that.
Mm.
But as food was rationed up to about 49, spent lots of time trying to catch rabbits, rabbits. There were thousands of them around then, thousands of them, and before myxomatosis. And it was the only meat we could sort of get hold of, other than the rationed meat, which weren't very much.
So, were you good at catching rabbits?
Yeah, we should catch them.
What did you do, shoot them or trap them?
I shot them when I got old enough to use a gun. But Mother was very pleased when I used to catch them.
I bet.
And we used to keep chicken as well, and we would kill one for Christmas. Just one. Well, you know, you'd get chicken for, two a penny.
Yes.
You just kill one, and it was usually an old hen.
Yes.
So, tough as old boots. So Mother boiled it for hours.
Oh,
but
wow.
It always... Somebody told me about chicken. Just Christmas.
That was a treat then.
Yeah, it's what's called, and we all enjoy it. They'll never know a lot, but and people never have much, no television, nothing like that, no computers, and everybody seemed happier than they do now. I hardly think I was sort of lucky to live through them sort of years.
Mm.
But that's really all I wrote, I think. The other thing I remember, of all things through the war, we had a house for evacuees, families from London. And my mother had to work very hard with all their washing and cooking and stuff.
Mm.
I remember she'd be there for hours, you know, bumping into washed up in the winter or hands were wrapped. I remember seeing her washing the clothes for hours and by hand, as there were no washing machines, just the things then. And over the road opposite, the Puskus family, which is Mary, as you know, Mary Clothier, and Mary, the oldest daughter, and same age as me, became great friends as kids. And we were like brother and sister, which we really were. And spent most of our time with one another, you know, and she spent most of her time in our house. She went on to become Mrs. Mary Clothier and still lives in Say Street today. It was very exciting at Christmas when we used to hang our stockings up at the bottom, and there was one orange in the bottom, which was the only one we ever got because they wouldn't haul boatloads of oranges when the war, you know, was being torpedoed and stuff. But they used to, must have got some over at Christmas just for the kids. So we got one orange.
And that was a big
and
treat.
You could always smell it, you know, when Father Christmas had been, that citrus smell that nobody takes any notice of now. It smelled, you know, we knew Father Christmas had been because you could smell the orange. One orange in a bottle and stuck it. And we used to get, a little bar of chocolate and a small bag of Maltesers, about 10 in there, and a bar of Troy's chocolate cream, I remember. And I remember when Mr. Cuss, he had a shop in South Street. We got the first bananas. It must have been about 1947, 46, 47, which we'd never ever seen before. And it was a queue all down at South Street there to just get these bananas.
And do you remember eating your first banana?
Yeah, eating the first banana. Couldn't wait. Everybody was excited.
And did you like it?
Yeah, not remember since, but that's all I did. Video, it's all he's written, mate.
So tell me about your father first.
My father was he's a really loving man, and he gave away all kinds of money that mother could well have done with. But he was a Christian, actually. He was the only Christian that I would call a Christian I ever knew, you know, because he practiced what he preached. He used to do a little bit of lay preaching.
Oh, right.
But he would always have a laugh. He was never narrow-minded. He was a real broad-minded lad. But, he was great. I always think he was very proud to be his son, sort of thing. Mother, she was tough. Because she had two sons, and father went away.
Yes.
And she had to bring us up, all the evacuees. But she was very tough, very fair. She used to catch us a clout if we stepped out of line too much. But I mean, of course, but she was still a loving mum. And they were great, marvellous.
And when you had the evacuees, do you remember the evacuees? Because you were only little,
I remember
you?
Lots of them, yeah. We had a Jewish family there.
Yeah.
And one family, they must have been there through the whole of the war.
The whole family.
Plus, I think then they went back and got bombed. And came. She was a school teacher. And Mr. and Mrs. Rowland, and they were their son David and Anne. And she got some glass in. I remember that she said that the bomb came and blew the glass in into her eye.
Right.
Mrs. Rowland. But they said it came back again, back to our house.
Right.
And they had a Jewish family in there. Called Kellers, I remember. And we had two land girls. And they were a whole family of these, from London. And,
that must have been difficult for your mother to have a whole family.
She was all a few. She got paid, I think, for
it. Yes, she would have been.
So she, she could have done with the money.
Yes.
We had some ducks, I remember, we reared. They were right on the point of laying, and we had to sell them to Mrs. Tizard. She must have been that short of cash.
Right.
Because father were away in Canada or whatever.
In your house in South Street, did you have a garden?
Yeah.
Right.
We used to grow stuff in the garden, not enough to, but we don't ever say one out of these soldiers as kids. But they were very good to us.
So it sounds like your mum was quite a sort of resilient woman
and
resourceful
she was strong,
as well.
Yeah, and she had to be pretty strong for these two lads, because we were quite, fearless as lads. She used to catch me in a clip, I remember. Only if you stepped in a line, she'd stand cheek, but never, she was no mischief, but never cheek.
Right,
she knew that we'd be cheeky.
Right.
Look out.
Right.
But she, the mischief, she was okay. She put up with that.
Sort of expected that from, she's from young boys.
The policeman would come up, and, oh, there's that policeman again. Oh, David!
Oh, come on, tell me about this.
It was always me, you know.
Did you used to get into trouble with the local policeman?
Yeah, mischief. Always mischief.
Tell me the sorts of things that you did.
Sorts of stuff. It's pinching apples and stuff like that, you know. And,
not big crimes, then?
No, crimes, no. Nobody ever did them, I think, in them days as kids.
In terms of the sort of sense of community, do you think that's changed over the years then? Or?
Yeah, yes. I knew everybody then in Melbourne. Mm. Everybody knew me. Mm. This is why if I stepped out of line, they would soon get back to my parents, my mum, you know. Yes. And whack on you. But, yes, now I don't even know my people next door.
Don't know your neighbours.
No. They don't really want to know you're great over there. But, these people, they don't.
Sometimes people
don't want to know, really.
No. Do you
people
remember?
People keep themselves to themselves when our house were always full. All the old ladies would come with mother's friends and they all sat down. They didn't even come in, just shout out, ooh, and come in the door. And mother put the kettle on and then they'll make up and say.
Do you think, obviously, you were used to having a lot of people around and all sorts of different types of people.
Yeah.
How do you think that. That influenced you as a child growing up? Was that a good thing to have experienced, do you think?
Yeah. You know, we always never had any hang-ups about anything. You know, it's just everybody was sort of honest and open.
Yeah. I suppose you just accepted it because that was all you knew and that was the way things were.
Somebody come in now and found somebody in your house, you think, nothing to come home and find Mrs. Williams up the road, sat down and waiting for her mother to come in.
Just
open house.
And do you think it made you quite a sort of sociable person? Because you needed to be social.
My wife, Jean, she made me lock a door. I wouldn't even lock a door when I was inside the street because mother and nobody ever locked the doors. Mm,
yeah, I bet.
And you just imagine it. You know.
And do you remember your dad coming back from the war?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Father was coming back in the. We had to go out to the Melbourne Port Station.
Yeah.
This is John, my older brother and I, and mother. I had to go out and meet him at 7 o'clock time. This is in cold December, I think. I remember it, very cold. And we walked all out there, and he never came, that train. And then the next train, he never came. And then Harry Hopkins, used to be the signal man up in the signal box. He saw us there, called us up in the signal box because we were so cold. To sit up there, but he had a big fire up in there.
Oh, wow, right.
You know, wooden signal boxes. So we sat there until ages and gave up then because he said there wouldn't another train then to 3 or 4 or something like that. So we walked back home. And in the morning when we woke up, he was home. He was there in bed. And I couldn't remember him. So I hadn't seen him for how long.
No.
You know,
did it take a while to sort of get used to having him around again? And then they had some more children then, your parents?
Young Alan and another one. I finished up to be another one.
Right.
I thought I wrote that there.
Yes, you did, yeah.
And yeah, still about. Alan's down there, Brook Street, and right. John's just up there.
Huh?
And we're all getting on a bit. I remember Father coming home, he used to send parcels from Canada. I remember he sent a great ham.
Wow. What a treat that would have been.
Oh, yeah. It was all wrapped in linen, so it must have been smoked.
Yes.
For the time it would have got here on a boat.
Like. Yeah.
And there's candy.
Yeah.
It's called something called Sweet William, I remember. We used to go to school and we were made up that we had this Canadian.
I bet you felt very special, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I know, but yeah, it's.
And then what did your father do work-wise then when he came out of the army?
Sorry?
What did your father do for work after he was in the...
He was in the RAF.
Oh, right.
He went back to...
Oh, he went back.
Yeah, back to...
Ah, I see, right.
I think he had something to do with owning it or part owning it or something or other. He finished up with a little shop of his own in Shuretton Cheap Street.
Selling...
You know, stationery.
Stationery, right.
Yeah, and he was a great guy, my father. Everybody knew him. Yeah. You'd have been in Melbourne, then you would have known.
Yeah. How old was he when he died?
83.
Right.
Ooh. He ran up, should live at South Street, up next to Mary, where Mary lives now, Mary Claire, next one down.
Yeah.
When he came out of the army, he got that. And he ran up past the window. He was always late, my dad.
Burned up the road. Too busy chatting, maybe.
Get the sweets for the kids for the Sunday school.
Oh.
Saturday afternoon, before the shop shut.
Yeah.
And he belted up the road at 83. And then, anyway, not up, he must have got up for a pee or something, and he went bang, and that was it.
Oh.
Which was great, really, for...
Good way to go.
Yeah, good way to go.
And what about your mother?
No, she didn't do so well. Oh. She suffered with bowel cancer, but she was 86.
Well, that's still a fantastic age.
She was still a good age. Yeah. She was up till then. She had terrible arthritis, but, of course, she was tough. She didn't use her mum, nothing like. She was a tough girl.
Oh, she sounds great.
Yeah, you were too.
What was I going to say? Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Tell me about the Boys' Brigade, then.
Oh, the Boys' Brigade. Anybody who was anybody were in the Boys' Brigade. If you weren't, you were, you know, just didn't count.
Oh, dear.
There's been 80 to 100 boys,
wow.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And we had great. It was great.
It was a bit like scouts or something.
More like the army.
Oh, right, yeah.
That all the officers had been in the forces.
Yeah.
And we used to do army marching and stuff, mm-hmm. and army gym. Vaulting horse and stuff.
Yeah. And, where did you go to do that? Was there
Victoria Hall, which is opposite, which is now at Doug's Factory in North Street.
Yeah.
Opposite there, which is flats now.
Right.
That was called the Victoria Hall.
Right.
I think you'll probably still see it on the door edge,
which is
not used anymore. Yeah. And that was our sort of base. And over at Doug's Factory for band practice on the Then we used to have Bible class at the Methodist, Monday notes, half an hour or so.
Were you in the
lads, then.
Were you in the band?
Yeah.
What did you play musical instruments?
Some bit of bugle.
Did you?
Whether a drum or a drummer, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, but it was a good upbringing, really. It was good stuff. And then we used to go to camp every year.
Mm.
We went to Benbridge over the woods.
Mm-hmm, yes. Wendy was telling me about this, because obviously her dad was...
Her dad was one of the officers.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And I told you that they were great friends with my dad.
Yeah.
Her father, Ted.
Just to ring up and just say goodbye.
My dad, he said, when my dad was going to bed, he would pick up the phone, dial his number. No, Ted. No, Ern. That was it. Who'd ever do that?
Oh, lovely.
That's all, yeah.
And school, obviously you went to the...
I went up to school, yeah.
You went to the church school.
Quite a pretty good education, really.
Yeah.
It was Mr. Bradfield was a teacher.
Yeah, I've heard that
He was
name.
A very, very good man. He was in the First War. He was very tough, but fair.
Mm. Like your mum.
If he...
tough, but
fair. But we used to step out of line, and he'd cane us. Well, it really hurt, but he caned me lots of times, but I never held it against him, because I'd earned it.
Right.
We were smoking his kids.
This is what Brian Webber told me also.
He used to smoke his kids, and he'd come out and court us out, so he'd smoke him. Before school, I remember John Tizard were one, which is Tizard's been their uncle now, I suppose.
Yes,
he's dead now, John. And we were all there puffing away. And out he come, caught us, took us all in, gave us a bit of a tadding off, and spent the next hour or more, the next lesson, explaining about the devils of smoking. Come out at 10:45 for a playtime, and what do we do? Come out and caught us again, so that too much for him. So he told me to stick. He gave me the stick across my buttocks, 3 cuts of it, and I couldn't sit down properly for 3 days. Honestly, I got home and I could see the wheels across my
Did you tell your mum?
No, I wouldn't dare do that. I wouldn't. She said, "What's the matter with you then?" I fell off my bike, mum, and hurt me behind a bit. I would never have told her that I would.
What would she have said?
She probably clouded me again,
Yes, double punishment.
Yeah. So I remember saying, "No, I fell off my bike, mother," and threw me on there. I never. I remember when I came out of the force. We come in the same club, and I came in, and he was in there. And he said, "I'm talking to him," and he'd be tired then. He said, "I bet you're going to hit me now." David, he called me David then, which is very unusual because he's always king.
Yes.
And I remember saying, that's the last thing I would ever do, sir, He was a good man, very fair.
I've heard about him.
Very, very fair. And he was a good teacher, I always thought. He had a pretty good education. Like my kids has both got degrees, 2 of them. And I think sometimes it's just as good as there.
Yeah.
They probably know a lot about one subject.
Yes, yes. So really good grounding. It
covers so much.
A really good broad grounding.
Common sense is the main thing, I always think.
Yeah.
Especially this upbringing of common sense, a lot of it.
Sometimes you just can't teach common sense.
You never had, you never had anything. So you made stuff.
Yeah, make, do, and mend.
Use your hands, make stuff, use your brain to make it.
Mm.
Whereas now you just go and buy it.
Mm.
Throw
things away as soon as they're broken and buy.
But I often think of a very good education.
Good, that's great.
Yeah.
Because not everybody thinks that, do they, about their school?
Well, I was very lucky, I think, to be. Because I weren't the best of pupils, so I was mucking around. And I remember we had this carbide, which was a chemical.
Yes.
I don't know if you know it, but once it got wet, it would fizz.
Right.
And a gas would. They had these carbide lights in the old days. Yeah. They used to light the gas to light the lights.
Yes.
So you used to put it in a tin, make a hole in the bottom of the tin with a nail, put some carbide in, put water, spit on it or something, put the lid back on it, waited for it to fill up, then it would start, then light it, then you get a tremendous bang, you know, like a cannon going off. In the liquid, but I had a bit in my pocket, and I put it in a kid's, one of the lads, inkwell, so we used to have an inkwell. Didn't realise, you know, and then it all bubbled up, ink all over the place, and this stinking gas coming off of it. I didn't stick for that, I remember.
Very naughty.
Yeah.
But it's like hijink sort of stuff, isn't
like
it?
That. But I always felt that Mr. Bradfield cared, like me, actually, because I was so damn mischievous, but I would take it if he hit me, you know what I mean?
Mm,
never murmur,
because
I knew I'd earned it.
Yes, yes.
I thought ever after what a good man he really was to be able to put up with us boys the way we were. And he had his work, because we were big lads, you know. Well, this size, when we were probably bigger when we were 15 than I am now.
So you left school when you were 15?
Never got that. He was a really good man.
And both your brothers go to that school as well?
Yeah, no, Alan went to Wincanton School, young brother.
Right.
That I built or worked on.
Yes, funny.
Yeah. And Alan. And then we married. We got four kids, two sons and two daughters. One's in the Caribbean now on a cruise. Second daughter, yeah.
Right.
She got a good job. She works for a prison home office.
Yeah.
She shot off to London when she was 16, went to Yale College. And that course that she'd done was the only course. The women in the home office, in charge of the typists, she wanted the girls from there. So she should come down to Yale College, try to book the girls.
Oh, yes.
They'd done this course.
Yes.
Typing course and stuff.
Yeah.
And she signed up for it, Samantha, didn't she? Went off the Queen Anne's Gate when she was 16.
Wow.
Up the Queen Anne's Gate.
That was quite an adventure.
Douglas Hurd then was there.
Oh, yeah, Douglas Hurd, I remember.
And
yes.
He was her home office.
Yeah.
She's done quite well for herself.
And what about your sons then?
Yeah, son, young Jeffy lives ahead of the street. He's MBA.
Right.
He went to university.
Business administration, isn't it? Something like that.
Not BA, MA.
MA, right. Yeah. Master of Arts.
Yeah. MBA. MA. I don't know what it is, but it's a master whatever of it. It's MA, I know that.
Right.
And young Jono's in Sherborne. And they all done pretty well for themselves.
Good.
Sherry, met.
Sherry, yeah.
His oldest daughter.
Yeah.
She's a good girl, yeah. Mm. I'm proud of them all.
Good. I bet they're proud of you as well.